This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
I had four things. I got to tell you this right now. My life went in four phases when I was a kid. The four different things that I wanted to be when I grew up, and it kind of changed and evolved as I grew up. But the first one was this. I set the bar really, really high. When I was a kid, the first thing I wanted to be when I grew up was Superman. That is me. I don't know what happened between now and then to get where I am here today, but I like that much better, much cuter back then. But I was convinced as a kid that Superman was it for me. Like, this is absolutely what I'm going to be and who I'm going to be. And my mom even told me that all I needed to do was to dye my hair black. And that was it. So I thought, oh, criteria, I fit everything else to Superman. My mom just says I need to dye my hair black and that's it. But then I hit a certain point where I realized, like, being Superman was maybe not super realistic. So I took the bar from here and I put it like way down here, because what I changed into thinking I wanted to be was a paperboy. And like, that's what I wanted to do for my living. I wanted to do that for the rest of my life. I decided that it'd be really fun to jump on a bicycle and chuck newspapers at people's yards and everything. There was even a video game that was out when I was a kid called Paperboy, and I think that inspired me, where you'd like throw papers at people's cats as you drove by their house. I don't know. But I decided at a certain point, too, that maybe newspapers would become obsolete. I don't know. So I moved from that phase into a third phase, which was sports broadcasting. That was the next thing. I hit sixth grade. I loved sports, and I had decided, well, this is what I'm going to do. I knew I was realistic enough at that point to know that I wasn't going to be a professional athlete, so I thought the next best thing for me as a sports lover was to be someone who talked about it for a living. But I had no idea what that meant, really. I just saw ESPN and knew that that looked fun. And then eighth grade hit, and my fourth and final one as a kid, I decided, you know what, forget sports broadcasting. I'm going to be a lawyer. I grew up, I think, watching a movie with Jim Carrey in it where he was a lawyer. And I was like, wow, being a lawyer is fun. And so I thought I would do that. And then I hit a consumer law class in high school and no more lawyer. I decided it was way too much paperwork for me. And that was it for me as far as growing up as a kid and these phases I went through. And so isn't that one of the more frequently asked questions of kids, whether when you were a kid or asked of your kids now? The question is, what do you want to be when you grow up? So here's what I want us to do this morning. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what you wanted to be when you grew up. Or if you're still of that age, say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? So take a moment and do that. See, here's the deal. I bet there's one thing that nobody in here just said to somebody else. I bet nobody in here turned to the person next to them and said, when I grow up, I want to be negative. Like, nobody said that, right? That's not typically something we strive to be, is negative. When I grow up, I want to be negative. That's just like my ultimate dream. And yet, we can find ourselves being that at times, can't we? We could just find ourselves letting this thing called negativity creep in, and yet we know that's not who Jesus is. But yet we find ourselves being that at times, whether we like it or not. So my question this morning is why? Like, why do we do that? If we know that's not who we want to be, if we know that's not what we want to be, why does it just so happen we find ourselves being that thing? Why do we let negativity creep in? None of us try to be negative. None of us strive to be negative. But at times, negativity takes us over. Like, have you ever been shopping before? Most people in here would raise their hands. Some of you in here hate shopping. So even the thought of having to go shopping, you're already in like, oh, I hate that type of mindset, a negative mindset when you think about shopping. But have you ever been shopping and you get through your list of items way quicker than you thought you would, only to wait in the checkout line for 30 minutes because the people in front of you have a coupon that expired 3 years ago, but they're dead set on saving 45 cents on that can of tomato soup? And you find yourself waiting way longer after you made it through your list quicker. You ever been a sports fan? Like sports, this is interesting to me. Sports are not something we have to follow. But sports are something we get to follow. And so because we get to and we don't have to, sports should be life-giving, right? Should be life-giving. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to try to be gentle with this. But tell, if sports are supposed to be life-giving, I mean, tell that to Michigan fans every time their team gets beat by Ohio State, right? Like, but I'm not even an Ohio State fan. I'm not. I'm just using that as an example. It's not as fun when our teams get beat. And so this thing all of a sudden when we love it, right? And it brings life, but all of a sudden it doesn't. And sometimes we let this fun thing, even called sports, suck the life right out of us. And if you don't think so, if you don't think you allow it to do that to you, ask your family members because they'll tell you that you might do that. See, I remember being a captain on my high school varsity basketball team as a senior in high school. And as the year started, I remember being super positive, super excited about what was going to take place. I just couldn't wait to see how our team did, how we'd advanced and grown as a team together. I've been playing with these guys since I was little kids. And yet about halfway through the year, I found myself in a position I didn't think I would see myself in. You see, I'd started off as one of four captains on the team and a starter, getting a lot of minutes every single game. But about halfway through the year, we weren't doing extremely well, and our coach decided to make a little bit of a change. And I saw one guy, one of my teammates on the bench, I saw his playing time start to go up and my playing time start to go down. And I didn't love that, especially as a captain and a senior on the team. I did not love that. And this thing I was so positive about all of a sudden started to transition and change for me. And I remember as a senior, we were asked to show up to a pep rally for our homecoming winter dance game that was coming up. And so as captains, we were asked to come to the pep rally and get the entire school in our gym fired up and ready to come out to the game on the Friday night and cheer us on. And I remember sitting there thinking about how my playing time had just been going down, and this kid that I didn't think was worthy of it was getting more playing time than me. And I was the last captain to speak. And the microphone gets passed down from captain to captain to captain, and it finally reaches me. And I remember this feeling inside of, like, I'm not happy. And I get the microphone, and I put it to my mouth like it is right now, and I just remember these words coming out of me in the pep rally in front of the whole school. I just said this. I said, listen, game's on Friday night. You can come or you can stay home. Either way, I don't care. I literally said that in front of the entire school. The entire student body just erupts with laughter. And while I feel like a moment of pride, arrogantly, I look over at my coach and the athletic director standing right next to him, and I knew it was bad news for me from that point on for the rest of the season. You see, I let a little bit of pride, but I also let a lot of bit of negativity creep into my soul to a point where I couldn't even hold things together and be happy for a teammate, but I was just so upset for my own self and situation. So why is it so much easier to be negative than it is to be positive? I think part of the answer is this. I think part of the answer is that we as people are fickle. The very definition of the word fickle is changing frequently, especially in regards to one's loyalties, interests, or affection. And so we have to guard as people, as Christ followers, we have to guard our hearts against discontentment all the time. But beyond being fickle, sometimes we just get sucked into a mindset of negativity for seemingly no reason until we realize that maybe there is a reason for it. And I believe that the answer to the question of why do we so easily turn negative, I believe that answer comes down to what we're allowing to grow in our lives. And so here's our passage for today. And it comes from the book of Colossians. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says this. And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. And so we go, I love this passage because we go from this thought of growing up. We're asked the question as kids all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? And yet this passage of scripture brings up this really interesting idea of growing down and what that looks like in our lives as Christians. So why does Paul, the author of Colossians, why does he use this metaphor basically of a plant or a tree for us? Well, I believe it's because a life rooted in Jesus provides unlimited growth. We see that in that passage right there. A life rooted in Jesus provides unlimited growth. That's the part of the scripture that says draw up nourishment from him. And honestly, I can say this to you this morning as a pastor even. Honestly, I want to grow in my faith. Like, I know that I haven't reached the finish line, that there's much room for improvement. And so I want to grow in my faith, and yet I know I've got a long way to go, and I want to continue to get better. I even hope that my daughter, my 2-year-old daughter, I hope that she sees that in me, that I strive to be better in all areas of life and faith. Jesus provides opportunities for continued growth. I just need to continue to tap into him and make that decision each and every day. Here's the deal. If you find yourself being perpetually negative, maybe you've let your roots grow down into something unhealthy. Maybe you've let your roots grow down into the comparison game with others, which naturally leads to jealousy. Jealousy isn't life-giving. It's life-poisoning. Maybe you've let your roots grow down into a love of money. Loving money is life poisoning. The Bible tells us this explicitly. Or maybe you've let your roots grow down into bitterness against a family member or a friend. And yet that grudge is life poisoning. You see, I believe we unintentionally poison our souls by allowing our lives to grow down into toxic soil. And I've been there and I've seen firsthand the damage that I've allowed to take place in my own soul because I'm growing my roots into things that don't give life back. And yet we've been provided with the most edifying and life-producing foundation available in Jesus. You see, one soil breeds negativity, and the other soil breeds positivity and hope. Have you ever tried to dig up a tree with deep roots? Some of those roots, they you simply have to take an axe to them, don't you? Like I've done this before when we were getting our volleyball court out here ready this past summer and we were digging things up and trying to get around rocks and roots, and some of you were here to help us do that, so you know this. We would hit deep roots and some of them you try to pull out of the ground and they wouldn't just pull. And you give it all your might. We get like multiple guys on some of these roots and they wouldn't just come out, and so we'd have to take an axe to it and cut this root out of the ground. Some of the roots in your life, you simply have to take an axe to. If our roots are entangled in something toxic, then we've got to cut them out of our lives and start growing more roots down where our lives can truly flourish. And that's in Jesus. Maybe we need to kill a root in our life. If you kill a root of complaining, maybe instead you grow a root of trust in God's plan when things don't go your way. You kill a root of addiction and instead grow a root of freedom from bondage. You kill a root of gossip and instead you grow a root of encouragement when others need it. So a question I have for you this morning, church, and for myself as well, is what's a root you need to kill? And what's a root you need to grow? What's a root in your life that you need to destroy? And what's a root in your life that needs watering and nutrients? See, Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want more positivity and hope in life, replace the time you spend on things that breed negativity with more time with Jesus. And then not only does a rooted life in Jesus produce unlimited growth, but we also see that a rooted life in Jesus produces extremely positive attributes in us as well. And this is the let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done part of that Colossians passage. You see, a life rooted in Jesus produces fruitfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. A life rooted in Jesus will bear much fruit. And yet that doesn't mean that any of us in here are going to be great at all of those things all at once, right? Like some of us, we might be great at one, like one of those fruits might be great in our life and the other might be suffering. But as we continue to follow Jesus, we get to see more fruit in our lives through our faith in him. Do your roots that you have in your life right now, do your roots bring fruit? And what fruit do they bring? You see, a life rooted in Jesus, it produces fruitfulness, but it also produces seeds. Seeds to plant in other people through relationship. God is calling us to step outside of our comfort zones when it comes to our relationships with other people. And the hope that your life exudes can and will start to grow in others around you if you nurture your relationships. That impacts the world around you in a positive way. And when you're connected to the vine of Jesus, people can't help but take notice because Jesus is different than what the world sees in most people. Jesus is different. My old youth pastor always used to say this to me, and it just stuck with me when I was growing up, and I still think of it today, and I believe it. But my old youth pastor used to say to us as students, he would say, you might just be the closest thing to Jesus that somebody else sees. That's a seed, and that's a seed that could be planted, that somebody else in your life might have never had any type of experience with Jesus ever, and yet their experience with you as a follower and a believer and somebody who's carrying out the mission and ministry of God in your life, that might plant a seed in them. A life rooted in Jesus, it also produces a place of refuge, of shelter. That when the negativity of the world feels suffocating, it provides us a place to turn. You see, Jesus is our stronghold and our light in the darkness, and we get to rest in that truth. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Following Jesus can be dangerous, though, right? Like, it just can. It can be dangerous. But there's security in knowing that Jesus has your back and has a plan for you no matter what happens in your life. That, my friends, is a place of refuge. To know that even when things don't make sense to us, that we can rest in the arms of a Father who has a plan for us and has great plans for us. And then lastly, a life rooted in Jesus produces life-giving oxygen. Like deeply rooted trees bring oxygen. We know this about trees. But like good soil does for a tree, God breathes life into us. And our actions and words can bring and breathe life into the world around us. You ever heard the phrase, I know we have, most of us in here probably heard this. You ever heard the phrase, if you can't, actually finish this for me. Finish this phrase for me. If you can't say something nice, then say nothing at all. I heard this idea from a pastor of a mutual friend of mine, and it just stuck with me. I love this. If you can't say something nice, then say nothing at all. We've been told this as kids. We tell this to our kids. But when I sit and I think about that phrase, I'm like, I feel like it's missing something. And I think it should actually say, if you can't say something nice, find something nice to say. Don't stay quiet. Don't just let negativity just stay within you and just say, okay, well, as long as I don't say it out loud, it's not going to be a bad thing in my life. If you can't say something nice, if I can't say something nice, then I've got to find something nice to say. And then that makes me think of my own penchant for complaining. It makes me think of my own penchant for complaining, and I come to the verse in Ephesians chapter 4. It's verse 29, and it says this: don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear. To those who hear them. What if this? What if we would set out this week to eliminate the spirit of complaining within us? What if we were to set out this week? What if we were super conscious of every complaint that we're tempted to leave our mouths? And instead of letting complaining come out of us, what if we just didn't say anything that's a complaint for others to hear? Think of the negativity that complaining breeds in our lives. Some of us, we sometimes wonder, we're like, man, why am I so negative all the time? Why do I think of the negative thing first? Maybe it's because we do have at times a penchant for complaining. How would God's kingdom be glorified if we made it our mission to bring his hope through uplifting speech and left complaining in the past? I'm guilty as charged when it comes to this. We issued this charge to our students in student ministry recently, and they were blown away by the times in a day that they found themselves wanting to complain about anything. Like, it just naturally comes out of us. And so to even try to stop complaining for a day is a really difficult task when you really put your mind to it. And yet God produces good, positive things within us. It springs up within us like a well. Positivity should just be flowing through our lives. And yet sometimes we just get caught up. See, God is the living water. I believe we were born with this inner soul thirst within us for something greater that we're constantly trying to quench. It's this thirst within us that we're constantly trying to quench. And so my question is this morning, are you drawing up his nourishment and growing in his faith? Because when negativity becomes our default mode, God grants us the power to fight it with his power, with his peace, with his patience. And through that, we gain a renewed outlook and positivity in life. I just believe that this morning, church. Have you allowed your roots to grow down into God's perspective on life or the world's? You see, as believers, unless we're consistently setting our minds on God, I believe our minds can be easily swayed by the world. And I don't have to be the one this morning to break the news to you that the world's perspective on life tends to lean heavily negative. And yet, I love the message of Jesus, because we find out that we get to fight to focus our minds on God. And when we do so, and we tap into the opportunities for growth, positivity just grows wild in our lives. So when was the last time that you were truly, deeply thankful for what God is doing in your life? There are times, I'll tell you this, there are times that I think I'm thankful, and yet thinking I'm thankful isn't living thankful. What if we all had something this week or this month that we honed in on and spent time on, that we spent prayer on, that we spent energy on, that we spent words on, that we spent action on, to live thankful? I believe that change in our and our worship, that change in our posture and worship of God, that to be intentional with our gratitude, I believe that that could change our lives and the lives of people around us. And so I want to wrap up with this. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 8, he says this: "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." You see, so many times in life, we don't think about the positive. We think of, we just get honed in on the negative. And I like to think of it as like a bowl of fruit. And a lot of you in here probably know this, that when you have a healthy bowl of fruit, if you add one rotten piece of fruit to the bowl, what does it do to the rest of the fruit? It spoils it. It spoils the fruit. And so many of us at times in our lives, we just get wrapped up with negativity to the point where we don't realize that we're spoiling ourselves and we're spoiling others with our negativity. And yet God doesn't preach negativity into our lives. God doesn't speak negativity into our lives. God speaks positivity and hope. Man, I pray and hope that you felt that this Christmas season. That with the birth of Jesus comes hope. A hope that you can carry into your every day, into your every week, into your every month and every year, regardless of the fact if it's the dumpster fire that seemed like it was 2020 or not. That hope is alive and well in Jesus. And I believe that a life rooted in Jesus, tapped into Jesus with positivity and gratitude, will provide a hope in a way that nothing else can. So my challenge and my hope this morning, church, for all of us, is that we can seek out a life that grows down into Him, that creates a foundation in Him. And He calls us to grow. And He'll grow us. And I believe this morning, I believe that one way we do so, one way we deepen our roots in Jesus, is we just simply worship and praise Him. And so we're going to do that right now. The band's going to lead us in worship and praise. And I believe this provides an opportunity to overflow with thankfulness for God and who He is, who He was, and who He continues to be every single day of our lives. And that's a positive thing. That's a positive thing. And we as His followers get to bring that into the world. And I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. That brings me joy. That brings me positivity. And so, church, let's pray this morning that God continues to stir something in us that brings positivity and hope in a new and powerful way. And so, God, we come to You this morning just recognizing that You do. You call us to be positive. God, You call us to be joyful. You call us to be thankful. God, You call us to live a life that points people to You. And so many times we get wrapped up in the annoyance and the little thing that we allow to ruin our day. God, You're bigger than that. You're greater than that. So God, my prayer this morning is that we truly would tap into You and grow down into You, drawing up Your nourishment. Because Your nourishment will lead us to a life that glorifies Your name and Your kingdom. God, Your nourishment will do things in our lives that we've never seen done before. And that's a positive, amazing, miraculous thing. And so, God, we believe in You, the God of miracles this morning. God, we believe that You will move mountains in our lives. God, that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, that You will do great things through us. And we want to see great things. God, we just believe in You with our whole hearts. And we just praise and worship You this morning, simply saying, we love You. God, we love You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.